Well, tonight we're going to do part two in a series called Change Control. Change Control Part 1, which we first taught was 2011. I believe it was May 2011. So there'll be a quiz in a few minutes on part one. So part one was called Change Control, positioning yourself to receive the blessings of God. If you've forgotten it, or if you weren't here, you could request a CD. But tonight, we're going to review it a little bit and then go on to part two, which is positioning yourself to be delivered from evil. All of us want to be where we can receive the blessings of God. We know that Jesus paid the price that we have been blessed with everything that you and I need for life and godliness today and every single day. It has been paid for. Just as the salvation has been paid for every person who is alive. They can all go to heaven, but they're not all going to heaven. In a similar manner, all the blessings you need have been paid for. God wants you and me to live a life according to the King James. Jesus says, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus comes that you have life and have it more abundantly. King James says, a life that's more abundant. The Message Bible says, a life that is better than you have ever dreamt. That's what Jesus wants for you and me. If you think about it, God loved you enough to make you. He loved you enough to send His Son to die for you. He loves you enough to put His Spirit inside you. And He said, now that you are saved, what would He and His Son withhold from you? What would He not freely give you? Romans 8:32. What would God and His Son not freely give you? The problem is, the Bible says we are snared by the deceits of the enemy. We oppose ourselves. We oppose ourselves by putting ourselves in positions where we tie God's hands, is one way of putting it, or we put ourselves in a position where we're not positioned to receive the blessings of God. In these ending days, it is not enough to do good things. We must do God things. A God thing is something that God wants you to do at the time when God wants you to do it. We can do a lot of good things. As a body, we do a lot of good things. The question is, of all the good things you've done, how many of them were God things? You only move into a place of doing God things when you are a God chaser. A God chaser is one who is always trying to be in God's presence. You know, many pastors get burnt out. Isn't that true? Why? It's not because they don't love God. They love God. They love God so much they're trying to do all these good things on behalf of God to help God's people. But they get burnt out because they get separated from God in the process. They're doing good things, but not God things. Because when you're doing God things, you'll never get burnt out. Because God knows exactly what you can do and what you can't. Now, when we do good things, and when we want to do good things and don't do them, and when we do good things and don't do them as well as we like, we can get to that place where self-hatred comes in. Guilt and condemnation. I should have done that. I wish I said that. But when we're doing God things, we realize it's not by our might nor our power, it's by the Spirit of the living God. We let Him do it. So it's very important to position ourselves to be where we can receive God's blessing. To do that, we need to be able to be led by the Spirit of God. And so, in part one, we talked about how to be positioned to receive God's blessing. And to do that, we need to understand what here at ABC we call the cycle of change. That every human being is changed through a process, through a cycle, which you won't see in medical school or the school of psychology, because they don't have a clue. You're changed through a cycle which works the following way. The Bible says your mind is renewed to the Word of God. Actually, your mind is renewed to anything you study. You study shoemaking, you become renewed to shoemaking. Whatever you are exposed to, your mind becomes renewed to it. God wants our mind to be renewed to the Bible. No, whatever is in your mind sets a boundary, a parameter. Within that boundary, we can have faith. The boundary tells us all that we know personally about the promises of God. It doesn't tell us all about God. It doesn't tell us about all the promises of God. It simply tells us the promises of God that we know about. Within the promises of God that we know about, we can choose to believe it and act on it. If we believe the promise of God and act on it, then that word of God is deposited in your heart. So the first step in the cycle of change is to study God's word. The second step is to act on it, which puts it in your heart. The third step is to speak it out your mouth. As you speak God's word out of your mouth, it sets your soul free. And as your soul gets set free, the Bible says that your body, your health, your finances will prosper. The cycle of change works for God's word. It actually works for anything that you do. If you decide, I'm going to be an expert in pornography, and you look at pornography, your mind is renewed to pornography. You act on the pornography, it gets into your heart, and you speak pornography, and it captures your soul. And your soul becomes addicted to pornography. And your body and your health and your finances are all then targeted towards pornography. Same thing with alcohol. Same thing with anything. The reason why science and medicine don't understand this is because they're focused on things that you can measure. And the spiritual heart is not something you can measure by any instrument. It's not even known by science and medicine. Point of fact is that most churches don't quite understand it. The good churches know it exists as a name. The churches that believe in the trichotomy, which is you believe that the Bible says you're a spirit, you live in a body, and you have a soul. The churches who are more advanced believe that. They're trichotomy churches. Those churches, which are trichotomy churches, know that there's a thing called a heart, but they haven't got a clue what to do with it. You listen to them speak. Sometimes they treat the heart as a spirit, and sometimes they treat the heart as a soul. And you listen to them and read their writings, they bounce back and forth because they don't know. They're comparable to the dichotomy churches. The dichotomy churches believe that you're a spirit slash soul and you live in a body. They know there's a thing called a soul and they don't know what to do with it, so they lump it in together with the spirit. And as they speak, you can see how they're making mistakes between the spirit and the soul. Many denominational churches are dichotomy churches. Now, of course, you want to really simplify life, you become a hedonist, and you believe in a monochotomy. What you see is what you get. See the abs? Oh, six packs. That's what it's all about, what you see. And when the body dies, it goes under the ground, it's all over, babe. That's the monochotomy, one part. But you and I are blessed to know that the parts work, that Jesus says, you should love God with your whole heart, soul, and mind. You, the Spirit, should love God with your heart, soul, and mind. And of course, nobody's going to deny the fact you have a body. Even the hedonists know you got a body. That's all they got. It's a body. Okay? So five parts. Pentecostal. A friend of mine who has graduated from seminary, and he also has a doctor's degree in theology, he sent me an email that says, Pastor Joshua, I searched the whole internet and I can't find anything on the Pentecostal. I said, I'm not surprised. You want something in the Pentecostal? Read what I sent you. Matter of fact, you can search the whole internet and not find ABC. Not this ABC. Okay, you can find a lot of ABCs, but not this one. So, the cycle of change. You and I are going to change. Everything changes except God. The question is not, are you going to change? The question is, in which direction are you going to change? Are you going to change towards God or away from God? There are only two directions. Let me say it again. There are only two directions. You can move towards God or away from God. That's it. There's no Frank Sinatra way. Doing it my way. Woo! Okay, thank you, Lord. So the process is you renew your mind to the Word of God. You act on it, put it in your heart. You speak it out of your heart to change your soul. It's pretty simple, right? Okay. Now, in doing that, to keep that cycle going, you have to make choices. You have to make the first choice. Do you want to feed on the Word of God? Well, if you want the cycle to change the movie towards God, the answer has to be yes. But everybody gets to make these choices themselves. So Joshua 1 verse 8 basically says, if you feed on the Word of God and keep it in your mouth, you'll have success in everything you do. Do we want success in everything we do? Do we want to prosper in everything we do? Yeah, it's very simple. Feed on the Word of God and keep it in your mouth. So we can choose to feed on the Word of God, choose to read it, but not do it. Well, if you read it and not do it, then you're a hearer and not a doer. And when the storms of life come, your house will fall. Jesus said that very clearly in Matthew 7, 24 to 27. If you hear it and don't do it, your house will fall. It's not a maybe. The storms will keep coming until your house falls. And let me tell you, folks, just between you and me, the storms, they are coming. Okay? That's not a cause of fear. That is a cause to spend more time in God and with God. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. We are more than conquerors in all areas of life. So don't be afraid of any storms. Let the storms be afraid of you. You can choose to be a disciple by continuing in the Word. In other words, you can say, I like this cycle of change stuff. I'm going to spend a whole week just doing this. And after the whole week, you go back the way you used to be. That's not continuing in the Word. Continuing in the Word means make the lifestyle. Keep on studying, keep on doing, keep on speaking. If you do that, you become a disciple. John 8, 31 and 32. And the truth will set you free. Know this. All the blessings that Jesus paid for belongs to every Christian. But not every Christian is going to walk in them. The ones who walk in them, according to John 8, 31 and 32, you could throw in Hebrews 11, verse 6, God rewards those who are diligent to seek Him. You could throw in Hebrews 6, 12, faith with patience, you get the promise. But let's focus on John 8, 31 and 32. Those who get set free, those who get the blessings of God, are those who continue in the Word. They're known as disciples. You can be a believer or a disciple. That's a choice you get to make. Me, I want to get set free from everything that Jesus paid the price for me to be free from it. I want to walk in every victory and every blessing. All I want in my heart is the Word of God. All I want in my mouth is the Word of God. All I want in my mind is the Word of God and the peace of God. And let me tell you, from where I used to be to where I am today, I've come a long way. To where I want to go, it's a really long way still. But I tell you, even though it's a long way to go, I can tell you, my wife and I live an Ephesians 3:20 lifestyle. We live a lifestyle that we declare. In fact, not just by faith, we declare in fact, it's a reality to us. Our lives are much greater than anything we ever dared ask, hope, or think. But understand that as we learn, we dare to ask even more. So we dare to dare even more. That's what God wants every person to live. And then we can choose life or death by speaking blessings or cursing. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Proverbs 18, 21 says, death and life from the power of your tongue. You choose what you want. You want to live under Jesus' return? Then continue the Word. Keep His Word in your mouth. Let the cycle of change move you towards God. If you don't care about being alive when Jesus returns, hey, have fun. May as well have it here. Well, for believers, we're all going to go to heaven anyway, right? But for the non-believer, they may as well have it here. Be cold, because when it ends, it's going to end for the non-believer. That's why Jesus says, be hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I spit you out of my mouth. You can choose to be justified by the word you speak. In other words, Jesus paid the price that all your sins have been remitted, washed away as if they did not exist. You want to walk in that blessing? You say, if my sins don't exist, then the wages of sin have nothing to do with me. Which is true. You walk in a place of jubilee where everything has been restored. All your sins paid for, all the wages paid for. You walk in a place where you can live as a righteousness of God, as an heir of God the Father, as joint heir with Jesus, as a super conqueror. You can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. You can walk in all that. But it depends on what word you speak, because you're justified by the words of your mouth. Matthew 12:37. So that's the cycle of change. That's the process. That's the choices. That's what we teach in part one, and much more in detail. So part B, how do you manage the cycle of change? Oh, piece of cake. Really easy. It's all about the Spirit. You do a little part, and the Holy Spirit does the rest. Titus 3:8. Titus 3:8 says, affirm these truths constantly. Well, the Word of God, these are truths. Affirm them constantly. Constantly affirm, declare the Word of God. Say over yourself what God says over you. See yourself the way God sees you, which is the way the Bible sees you. Now, to manage the cycle of change, there are two affirmations that will do it. Just two. There are three parts to the cycle of change. The mind must be renewed. The mind must be changed. The heart must be changed. And the tongue must be controlled. Three parts. Once these three parts are touched, the soul, the finances, and the health all are derived. They come from that. You don't have to focus on that, because, you know, it actually said this way in Deuteronomy 28. God says, if you diligently observe to do all that I've commanded you this day, then these blessings will chase you down and overtake you. God has already commanded the blessings to chase you down and overtake you. The blessings have been commanded to chase you down and overtake you. You don't need to chase them. You need to chase God by doing what God says to do. Another way of saying the exact same thing is this. You only need to change your mind, your heart, and your tongue to be a God chaser. Because if you change your mind, your heart, and your tongue, then the rest of it will chase you down. The blessings on your soul, on your health, and your finances will chase you down. So there are only three places you can touch with the Word of God. One is your mind. Well, God says you have the mind of Christ. When I first learned this, my mind used to be bombarded with scenarios like something would happen, I'd walk away, and I'd be going over it, rehashing it. I'm sure this has happened to nobody but me. But I walk away reacting, wow, that guy, I should have given him a piece of my mind. Here's what I should have done. Why didn't I say that? That was a great retort. Boy, wouldn't that have put him down? All these conversations. You look at me like you've done that. All these conversations in my head. Right? In AA, they call it the committee. All these things are going on in your head. And when the committee stops talking, temptations of sin come in. Actually, the committee is talking about different ways you can sin, but it's not as obvious as when the sin comes in, like, do this. You say, yeah, I'd really like to do that, but it's a sin. Never been there, right? And all these sinful thoughts hit your mind. And your mind is just going, going, going. And it's hard to find peace. And you got to get into church and get under the anointing to find a little peace in your mind. Let me tell you, all that are attacks of the enemy. You have the mind of Christ. All that doesn't have to be in your mind. Let me tell you, all that, since I've been doing this, has been removed from my mind. I never go through any of these woulda, shoulda things anymore. Temptation comes to my mind very rarely, and my mind is peaceful. Let me tell you, if I was not experiencing it myself, maybe I wouldn't believe somebody is saying it. But I'm telling you, it's true. And other people here are experiencing it to a lesser or greater degree. You have the mind of Christ. Anything that does not belong in the mind of Christ is a sin and does not belong in your mind. And the more you entertain it in your mind, is the more you're going to launch these committees and these voices and these temptations. And how do you change that? You declare it. You affirm it. In the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. I've been affirming that now. I don't know how long. I'm going to guess 20 years. I believe since 1993. So about 20 years. But time is speeding up. You won't need 20 years to do it, because God's power is getting stronger and stronger. You're getting access to more revelation knowledge and learning faster. Now, That takes care of the mind. In the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. Of course, you need to read the scriptures. Okay? You must read the scriptures. No, that takes care of one of the three. The other two are your heart and the words of your mouth. And Psalm 19:14 covers both. Here's an affirmation based on Psalm 19:14. In the name of Jesus, God has made the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart pleasing to him. In the name of Jesus, God has made the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart pleasing to him. These are two affirmations every mature believer needs to say. People who first come here, they are so busy having to do affirmations on their healing and affirmations on their finances that they kind of run out of time to do these. But once you start to get your hand around your finances and your health and you have more time, you reduce those affirmations and start increasing these two. Because when you get these two rolling, you rarely ever need to do the other ones. Understand? These two guide your life. They position you in a place where sickness and disease don't impact you. They position you in a place where your finances improve. Today is September 5th. Since January the 1st, every single day, money has come to my wife and I. 7 days a week, every month, since January 1st of this year. We have been declaring, in the name of Jesus, money comes to us every day. And this year, it had been increasing, increasing, increasing. This year, every day, money has come to us. You have what you say. So say what you want. Don't say what you have, unless you want to keep it. In the name of Jesus, God has made the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart pleasing to him. Those two affirmations hit all three. Those will control your life and move you and change you to where God wants you to be. These two affirmations will supersede all the ones on your finances and your health and different challenges in your life. Now, I want you to hear a testimony of somebody who had a major challenge. Let me tell you, Yoel is going to come up as soon as I'm through speaking. And she is going to give you a testimony. I don't know how long she's going to take. But let me tell you this. You want to think of this as she comes up. This is a woman of great faith. She went through a challenge when she came here that took her 8 years for the victory. 8 years. A challenge which I think probably only one in maybe 100,000 people would have fought it through to the end. The rest would have run to a doctor. And no matter how impossible it seemed, she fought it through and she got the victory. And now it's been years and the challenge has been behind her. A serious challenge. Once or twice, she was so challenged, she said, "Pastor, can I sleep on your couch?" Because she wanted the anointing. Because she was so weak and so pale that she didn't want to stay home. So my wife and I let her stay with the music playing where she could hear the music. And when she got stronger, she went home. I don't think she ever stayed all night. I don't recall. I don't think so. But a couple of times she stayed for part of the night until she got stronger. So when she comes up and she tells you she had a tremendous problem here that she solved in this manner, understand, this is not a new beginner person talking. This is a serious challenge solved in a serious, mature manner. I know you elves, you're sometimes at a loss of words, but are you ready?
Good evening, church. There was a challenge that started actually on my birthday, which was 2 weeks ago, Sunday on the 24th. And it was primarily based upon my children deciding, you know, who where to take me for my birthday, blah, blah, blah. And of course, nothing of what I wanted to do. It was all about them. So I was like, okay, another opportunity about them. And leading up to that point, I had I've been working extremely long hours. But the thing about it is I had made a promise to the Lord come January 1st. And I was doing good at first. And then the pressure started like maybe in about April. And sometimes when you're under pressure, all those promises that you made to the Lord just kind of went right out the window. And I went back to these long, ridiculous hours and of work. I'm a entrepreneur, by the way. And so anyway, when this challenge started, it started very suddenly on Sunday night. And I know when challenges start suddenly like that, it's usually have a demonic reasoning behind it. Because I gave myself permission to be challenged. That's what I realized. Because I was like, well, you know, that's where the condemnation and guilt and all that come in. Well, you know, you're disobedient to the Lord, so therefore I mean, this is the way that it should have, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so it's just a blah, blah, blah. Because, so there it starts. So you immediately up your affirmations. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So I start doing, you know, like a minimum of 1,000 of those, anywhere from 1,000 to 1,500 a day. And so that's Sunday night, but we go Monday, Tuesday. Then I was supposed to go to dinner with my daughter on Wednesday, and she canceled out. Oh, man, unforgiveness sets in. So that just sent it into a whole different level now. So now, I mean, the enemy's just having a field day with me. And so that night, I was exceptionally challenged. We went from this level to this level. And I went through some violent chills during that night. And I mean, just... You're trying to affirm at this point, but you're fighting now. You're like, he have you down, and you're down, and you're fighting. And come Thursday morning, I was better, and that's when I whipped out the 30-year-old thermometer. But that night, and that was from my first child, and it was interesting. It's a digital thermometer back then. I must be the first of its time, and it was in Jamaica. And so, you know, I start popping that in, and I was at 102 point something. And so Thursday morning, I was like that, you know, 90 something. And so I went through the day, and I remember come that evening, so I'm fighting, doing my affirmation every day, you know, affirmations, and I'm confessing sins, and I'm doing all what I know what to do. Friday come, I'm like, I come in here, I'm like, okay, where's the prayer line, you know? And interestingly, there was none. And I'm like, the one time that I really needed, no. I mean, I'm like a 10 and a half. And then Pastor Matthew saw that something was going on, because, you know, I kind of sit down, it's like I'm holding my bag like this, you know. So he kind of prayed over me, and then Pastor Joshua was saying that the anointing, no prayer line today, it's the prayer, it's the anointing. I was like, oh, thank you, God. But, you know, interestingly, it did. It went from that 10 and a half all the way down to a 1, and sometime a point five. And I was like, all right. So I got some prayer that night and went home. Still, you know, what I was really challenged with was a kidney. It would seem in the natural a kidney infection, but throbbing. I mean, not even, it wasn't throbbing, it was piercing. It was like the demon stood up right beside me with a dagger, what you call that? The spear, the fiery dart, and just went like this, psst, up in your head, psst, or in my head. Oh, every minute, like I mean, it was like, oh my gosh. I mean, you know, it was just that piercing. So anyway, come Saturday morning, I was at a job site at 7 o'clock. I barely made it back home, and that's where I was in bed until, you know, Sunday morning. I came here, and then the Pastor Joshua anointed me with oil and prayed and told him what was going on. And so when I went back home that evening, I'm still doing what I'm forgiving everybody from birth, conception, from preconception. People are getting emails, text messages, people who didn't even have text messages. I only had home numbers for them. I'm sending them, you know, I mean, I'm going through everything I know what to do. But, you know, the Holy Spirit in His mercy is so faithful. So, and no, Pastor Joshua, you know, he's on the case now. And so we're analyzing. And then the Holy Spirit said, enough of the, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. It's the 1 Corinthians 2:16. In the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. Oh, yeah. That's when it started. Let me tell you, like mind control, because it was all about trying to control situations, the pressure of work and everything. Oh, I couldn't barely run to the bathroom. I was heaving and that was so amazing. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was from Saturday night. So because come Sunday morning, I was heaving by then. And things were coming out, manifesting that. And I was like, oh, I got you now. So these things from the past, from little girl and the things that come in. So all day Monday was a holiday. You must have had a holiday. Well, I was fighting. And we got the victory with the kidney, but the pain in the head just kept on, just this thing just kept on persisting. And so then Tuesday, the team met, the leadership team. You know, that's the one thing when you're in a church that know how to pray and you really call for the backup big guns. And then we pray as a team. And when Pastor Matthew, he laid hands on me again. And he had a word and he prayed. And then there's this little voice that I guess couldn't just stand it anymore. I said, no, I've been here long enough. You know, this is in me. You know, I like deserve to be here. I've been, and it's this little voice. And I was like, oh, okay. So I went home and I said, I recognize that little voice. And, you know, as a little girl, yeah, there was abuse. And there was a time, the darkest moment that I could remember was with me under this bed. You know, this dark time, and it would just be, you know, that would be my little cave. And then you see and I'd be locked in a room, and you see the legs come in and give food and go back out, click, click. And it would just be me under the bed. Well, what happened is that the Holy Spirit took me back, and that memory is not that memory anymore. They rewrote that memory for me. And so now that memory is with me and Jesus under the bed.
Amen.
And I'm never alone. So I said, well, you know, thank you very much. What you thought, you were helping me during that time. but I don't need you anymore. It's me and Jesus. I can remember back. It's not you and me under the bed. It was me and Jesus under the bed. So could you, I was just being polite. Could you please just go? I'm asking you nicely to go. And it still kind of lingered. And I just sat down there. I did about 800. And it wouldn't let me do those. Just fighting Psalm 19:14. And I have a version of it, you know, in the name of Jesus. God has given me all the words of my mouth and all the meditations of my heart. And that's not a lot. It wasn't even, it's a much shorter version to what you have here. I was like, in Jesus' name. I mean, just and I'm outside and I'm like, and then finally it let loose. And I was like, I just rattled off another 800 of them. And I was like, okay, well, let me just tell you this. And in between, I'm doing the three witness anointing on my brain. And then all of a sudden, my temperature started to come down. All this time, you know, it was like hovering like about 104 all for about 8 days. And so it started to come down. And by the time I went to bed, was like about back down to about 101 point something. That night, I had the most interesting dreams. And I woke up a couple of times just drenched. I was like, did something? I'm just thinking, did I not squeeze out my hair long? You know, it had more water than I thought in my hair or something on the pillow. And so anyway, just come the morning now, I wake up, I test myself, because another affirmation I was doing was that I was had normal temperature, 98.6. That was my target. So I wake up that morning, pop the thermometer in, 97.4. I say, devil, you're such a liar. You overshooting 98.6. I'm like, no, I want 98.6, not 97.4. I want normality. So I was like, after we do our prayer in the morning and communion, sat down there again, did another 100 of the 1 Corinthians, have the mind of Christ, in Jesus' name, have the mind of Christ, and another 200 of Psalm 19:14, and then my dogs dragged me to, come on, we haven't gone for a walk. You haven't walked us since, this is Wednesday morning, no. You haven't walked us since last week. Come on. So I was like, okay, I'll do. So I go out there, I come back, got my little strength back, and then I put the thermometer. I was like, oh, you know, I haven't tested it all this time. Let me try it. 98.6. I was like, hallelujah, I got my victory. So, but by that time now, it's just an amazing, and things were just all the clarity and everything. So one of the things I just wanted to share with you is, it took me 8 days this time, a lot less than 8 years, okay? So I'm ahead by 7 years, 332 calculated days. Oh yeah, it's pretty cool. But that was since then, I mean, that was Wednesday. We went we went to see my projects, and And he's like, man, you surely recovered really good because I'm running up and down the hill, because these are all hillside projects. And that morning, I could barely even just lift myself. But my sister had texted me, and I said, you know, I told her, I said, I've been challenged for the from last Wednesday, in bed since Saturday, but it should be because I just wanted to rest, not because I was challenged, you know. I said, conclusion, back to my lifestyle change that I promised the Lord January 1st. And it seemed to have, that I seemed to have thrown out the window. Lesson, never make a promise to the Lord and don't follow through. You open the doors to all sorts of attack from hell. And so thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you, Jesus. You know, when you hear a testimony told, it can be told from many different perspectives. So let me give a perspective that's a little bit different from hers. Okay, a very short perspective. When she was first challenged, she was challenged with two challenges in her body, her physical body. And they're both painful and very challenging. And eventually, as she got the victory over those two, the pain jumped to her head. See? So by the time she got the victory over the two in her body, her head was now like somebody had a pneumatic drill in her head. When she called me, and I could tell from her voice, because this is a woman of faith, when she called and the way she explained, I knew she was highly challenged. Her temperature was running at 104. There's this tremendous pain in her head. We were not having a lot of success. I mean, every time she would do some semester three prayers, it would stop. But as soon as she finished the prayers, within a few minutes, it would come back again. So the semester three prayers were not breaking through. And so finally I said, Yoel, you need to spend some time talking to God as to what the problem is. And so she went off, stopped the praying, and just spent time with God. And God told her about the lifestyle change. She had not kept her promise about the lifestyle change. And that was the beginning of the success. Once she got that, she came in Tuesday, and once the team prayed for her here, she was able to go home and learn about the mind, the situation with the mind. And as she went into the mind, attacks escalated so dramatically that she knew she had found a key. Not that it was producing good results, but at least it was producing results, which is more pain. But she continued, and she told you she broke through that, and then broke through enough that after the prayer and after Pastor Master prayed for her, she could hear the Holy Spirit, and he said, now you need to do affirmations, and gave her how to say it. In the name of Jesus, God has made all the words of her mouth and all the meditations of her heart pleasing to God. And that's when the breakthrough started coming. So that's how she got it. She used these two affirmations to come back from 8 days of 104 temperature, from tremendous challenges in her body, not to mention challenges in her head. And the morning she struggled out with a 97 temperature, when she came back, it was 98.6, but she was very tired. The dogs kind of pulled her out of bed, actually. And then she took us to this project site, which had been scheduled like a week before. And she's showing us these houses built on hillside. One house had 12 levels. You got to go up the hillside to get into this house. And then there's 12 levels. And she's bounding up on these things like, you know, Bible says God would make you like a hind with your feet up on high places. That was her bounding up. This. And Sarah and I walking behind her like, right? You would not believe that's the same person who just came out of 8 days of challenges. But the victory was at a very advanced level. It wasn't from affirming, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. It was by doing these two affirmations. She spoke about some things from semester two and semester three, which will go over some of your heads. Just ignore it, because until you hear the teaching, it won't make any sense. So just ignore it for the time being. Okay? Okay, thank you very much, Yoel. Now we're going to go on to part D. Living on a foundation of change control. See, affirming that you have been healed by the stripes of Jesus and God supplies all you need, all these things are like fighting forest fires. You don't want to spend your life fighting brush fires. What you want to do is have a maintenance program so you don't get fires in your property. That's what this is. Change control is positioning yourself so through preventive maintenance of speaking the word of God, you're positioned where the challenges don't come to your life. What was the last time Pastor Joshua went to a hospital? When I was run over by a bus. When I was 14 years old. And my mother and her brothers were such prayer warriors that they took me to the hospital in Jamaica. And all I wanted to do was get to school and not have anybody found out that my bicycle and I had been hit by a car and we ended up on a bus. I don't really know what happened to the bicycle. But when they took me to the hospital, they studied me for a while and they said, you know a bus ran over your arm? And I said, so they tell me. They said, I have to tell you, look at your arm. You can see the track treads on your arms. But he said, there's nothing wrong with your arm. Nothing wrong with your arm. I said, nothing wrong with my arm. Good. Can I go to school now? See, God wasn't that close to me. I mean, you understand? I mean, I was there because of my mother. But her prayers kept me safe. Right? But that's the last time I actually went to a hospital that I can remember, except for testing. I went for some testing about 10 years later, before I was saved. Now, this preventive program will keep you where God's blessing can come upon you. Equally as well as that, it will position you to be delivered from evil. The Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. You all know the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, these are directions how to position yourself for the blessings of God. These are directions how to position yourself to be delivered from evil. Now, the next one is, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's not that God is going to lead you into temptation. You got to beg him, please God, don't lead me into temptation. No. It's that you, through being deceived by the enemy, will be led into temptation. But if you acknowledge God and do things God's way, God will lead you to avoid all the challenges in life. Right? And we have hundreds of examples like that, maybe thousands of examples like that around. You don't want to be where the challenge is. One believer who worked in the Twin Towers on 9/11, going to work and somehow he just wanted a donut. Did something he'd never done before. He pulled over at a donut shop and had a donut and coffee. And while he's there having donuts and coffee, the planes ran into the building. That's being led not into evil. The best thing is to be led not into evil. That you so much have turned your life over to God. You have done so many affirmations that you have the mind of Christ and that God controls your words and the thoughts of your heart. And you all know your words, your tongue directs your life. So if God is controlling your tongue, he's controlling your life. He's leading you not into temptation. But sometimes when we do all that, or try to do that, we still make mistakes. We get conned by the enemy, and we end up under temptation. We end up in a challenging situation. Many years ago, I took some kids to the beach. Maybe 8 kids. I'm on the beach, minding my own business, and a riot breaks out around me. No, maybe I shouldn't have been on that beach, but I was. But that's okay, God delivered me. I took the kids, and we walked through this riot, and people are using knives, and machetes, and rocks, and bottles all around us, and we walked through it as if we were not there. Not one of us was affected in any way. Went out, got no vehicles, and we took off. So, affirmations for that. In the name of Jesus, God leads us not into temptation. That's a good affirmation. In the name of Jesus, God leads us not into temptation. In the name of Jesus, God delivers us from evil. God delivers us from evil. You take what the Lord set us to do, we do it as best as we can, and we declare it over our lives. Now, you need to make choices and actions which agree with the Lord's Prayer. If you're letting the Lord's Prayer guide you, if you're making God's directions guide you, if you're letting the Bible guide you and protect you, then you need to make choices that are consistent and in agreement. In other words, all of God's promises belong to you. They are available to you, but you have to do them God's way. And God's way is you meet the conditions on the prayers and you get the answers. Every promise of God belongs to you. Every promise of God belongs to you. But every promise has conditions. You meet the conditions, you get the promise. like all the money that you have in your checking account belongs to you. But you can't get it unless you do it the way the bank tells you. You get your checkbook and you write it out. If you write it out and you put somebody else's name in it, you won't get your money. You got to do it their way. If you have an account at Bank of America and you go to Chase and use a Bank of America check, you won't get your money. You got to do it their way. We all understand that. It's the same thing with the Bank of Heaven. All your blessings are deposited in the Bank of Heaven. But to withdraw, you must do it God's way, which means you must know what the promises are. You must know what blessings are stored for you in the Bank of Heaven and how to withdraw it. What are the conditions? Very simple. So here are some things you need to do. A prerequisite to receiving any blessing from God is to be a forgiving person. You must be a forgiving person. If you don't forgive, then it will block your prayers. More and more, I'm teaching people. As you go through your day with every interaction, if you start to lose your joy, your peace, or your patience, then immediately forgive the person you're interacting with. They may have done nothing wrong, but something in it caused you to lose your joy, your peace, or your patience. So say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive them for whatever they said that caused me to lose my joy, my peace, and my patience. I'm focusing on joy, peace, and patience because it's a lot easier to identify when you're losing your joy, peace, and patience than when you're walking in offense or unforgiveness and sometimes anger or frustration. There are a lot of sins you commit that are hard to identify. Is that right? But most people know when they're losing their joy, peace, and patience. It can come from watching television. You can see the news, you know. Boy, this guy went into a school and shot all these people. And you get very angry at him. How could a man be so cruel as to shoot all these kids? And you have what we call third-party offense. Has nothing to do with you, but you're offended. You got to forgive him. Not for his sake, but for your own. Forgive him. Bless him. Pray that laborers of the harvest cross this path to get him saved. God loves him even though he's a murderer. He doesn't love the murderer. He loves the man. Right? So every interaction, get ready to forgive somebody until unforgiveness, frustration, all this thing doesn't bother you anymore. Want to get a test? Have somebody unexpectedly just slap you across your face. If you don't get offended, you've passed. Okay? Okay? Okay. No, don't give me any practice, okay? I don't need any practice. So be a forgiving person. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are all the issues of life. All the issues of life flow through your mouth. You must guard your heart. You don't want all this garbage coming into your heart. So watch what you see. Watch what you hear. Watch what you read. All that stuff gets into your heart and starts to control your tongue. Forgive by faith. You may not feel like forgiving the person. You may have been correct. The person may have been wrong. They may have been very offensive to you. But the Word of God says, forgive them. So even though you don't feel like it, feeling has nothing to do with it. You're doing it by faith. Feeling is part of sight. You don't walk by sight means you don't walk by feelings. The Word of God says, forgive. So it's the Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive this person. From my heart, I forgive them because the Word of God says to do it. From my heart, in Jesus' name, I bless them. And Father, I thank you that I've now forgiven them, and I know the feelings of forgiveness will come. And if a thought comes back to your mind, bless them again. Pray for them. Comes back again, pray for their family. Comes back at them, pray for their cousins. Pray for everybody connected to them. Somewhere in that process, the devil will quit bringing it back to you, and the feelings of forgiveness will come. So be a forgiving person. Be led of the Lord to avoid all dangers. How do you do that? Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, if you acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, he'll direct your path. Notice, it does not say, if you acknowledge him in all your ways and you hear him perfectly and never make a mistake. It doesn't say that. When you're going to do something, ask God. God, should I do this? If he says no, don't do it. If he says yes, do it. If you don't know what he said, make your best choice. At least you have acknowledged him. Then the responsibility is on him. Another way of being led by the Lord is every time there's a challenge in your life, every time there's a need, you do what Philippians 4 verse 6 says. Philippians 4 verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be fearful about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. In other words, here's a challenge. You pray about it. And then you believe God has answered your prayer so you can walk in peace. Okay? So be led of the Lord to avoid all dangers. Whatever the potential danger is, you just take it before God. I remember during one of the riots, the Watts riot, I believe. I remember driving past Watts on the freeway. And I'm hunkered down in my car. This is a long time ago, right? I wasn't born again. But I remember driving by there. I'm hunkered down, just my eyes, you can see. Because they're shooting people all over the place. Okay? Of course, nothing happened. I wasn't saved in those days. If I was saved, I wouldn't be hunkering down. I remember in Jamaica, I led a bunch of men from one particular gang to the Lord. And then we were starting a business for the group, for the gang, so they wouldn't have to go rob. They could have something to do to make money. We had to cross the city to go buy some material, which we did by the main roads. And coming back, we're running behind schedule. And I said, you know, if you cut straight through these two areas here, you can come over here and can save like an hour or so. The guy said, you can't do that. Why is that? Really bad gang in that area. If you drive through that area, they'll shoot you. I said, nah. You know, I'm trying to teach these guys about the power of God. I said, you watch me. They won't shoot you because God will protect you. He says, yeah, but we don't know the way through it. We get lost. I said, but God knows the way. So I said, we got to do it. And I drove into the area. And man, you couldn't see any head in the car but mine. And we went through that area. And they'll always say, turn right. And I turn right and turn left and go straight and turn right. And we drove through that area for about 20 minutes. Not one shot fired. They didn't see us. They couldn't see the guys that were down there. But they didn't see me either. Right? Because it would be obvious I didn't belong in that area, okay? Anyway, trust the Lord to be delivered out of unexpected evil. Trust the Lord to be delivered out of unexpected evil. Because he said he'll do that. He'll deliver us from all evil. Whether it be a challenge in your body, our finances, you know, a riot, it makes no difference. He will deliver you. That's his promise. Now, how does he deliver you? Well, if you know Proverbs 18, verse 10, Proverbs 18, verse 10, says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is saved. That's wonderful. It's a promise of God. But how do you do it? How do you run into the name of the Lord? You could make a big house shaped like the name of the Lord and run in there, but I don't think that's what he means. I think what he means is you take the name of the Lord and you change the circumstances. You take the name of the Lord and you call things that be. You take the name of the Lord and you declare around you the protection that God has promised you. An example here is affirm in the name of Jesus, nothing of the enemy can by any means hurt me. That happens to be Luke 10:19. You see a challenge coming, you declare in the name of Jesus. You run into the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, nothing of the enemy can by any means hurt me. Amen? Amen. Okay, that takes care of positioning yourself to be delivered from evil. The bottom line is there are two affirmations every serious believer should say. In the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. And in the name of Jesus, God has made the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart pleasing to him. If you forget everything else, remember those two affirmations and start doing them. Amen? God bless. Okay, let's give the Lord a big round of applause. And let's